I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we are happy to welcome back to our studio a group that features several Duluth natives, although they're down in the Twin Cities now. And they've added a few new members since they were last here. They are the Gentlemen's Anti-Temperance League. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Hello.
And I think you've added a couple of members since you were last here, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, Dan, do you want to introduce everybody?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I guess everyone could introduce themselves, but we've got Peter Whiteman on the bass. We've got Jonathan Halquist on the violin, me on guitar. Most importantly, we've got Kelly Reichert singing. She's one of the new additions we've got, and she is just incredible. So, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And she is a conspicuous difference on your new album, Masquerade, which just came out in June, is the female vocals that you've added. And I'm curious, of course, about how that happened, but why don't we start with a song? What do you guys want to start with here?
I think we'll start with a song from Masquerade. It's called Oh, What a Senseless Affair.
Don't have to lash out in anger if you feel that your life is unfair. We all fade to dust at the ending. Oh, what a senseless affair. So be kind to yourself and everyone else. Or live on your own in a
That is the Gentlemen's Anti-Temperance League, live from Studio A, and one from their new album, Masquerade. Well, so Kelly, as I told you before we went on the air, you're in the hot seat because you're the new member of the band. We haven't heard about your background. So how did you end up getting involved with these guys, and how long ago was that?
Oh, how long ago was that? That was maybe almost two years ago now, I think,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm not the newest member of the band, but since they've been here last, I am new. So I guess, yeah, almost 2 years ago now, they wanted me to sing on a song on their previous album, Millennial Blues, the song called Stella. So then I would come and perform that song with them around town in Minneapolis. And then they asked me to come learn some more songs and just kind of blossomed from there and became a full-time member of the band.
And what's your background in singing? You have a lovely voice.
Well, thank you. I mean, I guess, I don't know, I was really shy growing up and I didn't really sing in front of anyone until I was 17 years old, maybe. I don't know. So it was a closet talent, I guess you could say, that I didn't really share with anyone until I gained the confidence. And yeah, I mean, I guess I'm mostly self-taught. I was in choir, but that was, you know.
So you weren't in bands before you joined this one?
I was right out, I guess, around age 19. I joined this jazzy psychedelic rock band called Peregrine Perspective. And that's actually where I met Pete, the bassist from the Gents here. He did some live painting for us at one of our shows in Minneapolis. And yeah, that's how we met.
And
I guess that was my in to these guys.
Okay, so that's how you guys discovered. Any of you want to weigh in on how you decided to add Kelly to the band?
I mean, she's just a really awesome singer. and she manages to not go completely bonkers hanging out with us, which is quite a feat.
Mm-hmm. I'm just really good at hiding it.
So now that you are performing, how does that work? You know, in the past you were kind of shy about it. How has that adjustment been to being on stage? Have you come to really enjoy it? Do you still get
Absolutely.
Butterflies?
I don't get stage fright as often anymore. But definitely when I first started performing with my last band, I mean, there's probably some embarrassing footage on YouTube still of me in that band of like just barely moving on stage and just, you know, singing, like still singing to the full extent, but no movement or like no real stage presence, at least in my opinion. I guess I'm my worst critic, but I mean, as I've gotten older and more practiced, I've just gotten better and better at just moving around the stage and having a little bit more personality on stage and feeling really confident with my fellow musicians on stage. That really helps a lot, feeling really good about what we're doing and feeling comfortable with my bandmates. Yeah.
And for this kind of music, that kind of seems like it is part of the show.
It's, absolutely.
You know, yeah. Well, good for you. I'm actually surprised that you don't have more experience because you sound so wonderful and you fit in so well with this band. Really, really great, great results on this album. So you did perform a little bit on the previous album, but...
Correct, yeah, just one
okay.
song.
All right, but you are all over this one.
Yes, I am.
Well, let's talk about it, since it's been a couple years since the whole band has been here. Well, first of all, let's mention the missing members. Who's missing today?
Yeah, we're missing Rich, who is another new member, Rich Yeager, and he is a trumpet player. He's super awesome. He plays in a bunch of bands, and we managed to keep him around, and he plays all the time with us, and it's a blast to have. And there's a fair amount of trumpet on the new album, too. And then we're missing Alan, who is another guy who's been with us for a long time. He's from, you know, just over the border in Wisconsin, around Spooner. And he plays guitar, and he shreds the guitar all over. And yeah. So mm-hmm. those are the two we're missing today. Mm-hmm. But we will have them later tonight.
Mm-hmm. So when we talked a couple of years ago, you were playing the Homegrown Music Festival because you have so many Duluthians in the band. You, of course, qualify. And you hadn't done a lot of touring outside of Minnesota yet. And I'm going to assume that you've done a little bit of that since then. So tell me about that.
Yeah. We've been pretty regularly now, never farther than, a little bit south of Chicago. But we have been going a lot over to, you know, Wisconsin, the Driftless region, farther south down to Iowa, Iowa City, stuff like that. We're actually in the process right now of trying to be a little more efficient about it because, I mean, we like playing music and we're not great business people. We're not great about booking everything and organizing everything careful, and we do it as a necessity, but...
It's very rare that anyone is good at both of those things.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I think a lot of creative people struggle with mm-hmm. that, the promotion part.
Yeah. If anyone's looking for a really low-paid promoting gig, we got you covered.
But so you've been out there doing it, and how has that been? And do you all have, like, real jobs, and you kind of have to coordinate it all and figure out when you can take the time, or how does that work?
The people with the... And here's the air quotes, the realest jobs, I think, outside of playing music are the people who we don't have with us, probably Rich and Alan. And then we kind of have varying real jobs between us. I probably have the least real job, I guess.
An imaginary job.
Yeah.
Helps you do a music career.
Yes.
For sure. Well, let's hear it. So I don't think we had you in for the last album. So you did Millennial Blues, is that right? Is that what it's called? And then, but tell me about the new one. And so there's like been a long stretch of time that you've kind of developed your sound. And
yeah.
So tell me about making the new one. And
well, the new album, Masquerade, which came out in June, I mean, it has a lot of influence coming from new members. It has Kelly on it, it has Rich on it, and that's big. But in addition, it reflects our interests and the way we're playing together a lot. You know, I personally got into kind of a Latin jazz phase and started listening to a lot of, there's a musician I really like from Argentina who I think lives in the U.S. now, but Gonzalo Vergara, and just all the different influences coming in, it's changed what we're doing. It's less, it feels less stiff. It feels more fluid and comfortable.
Well, and you have really only been together for 4 years now, is that right? So that's also probably just a function of being together. You were pretty new when you were in their studios last time. So just a function of having a core of people that's playing together and must be really helpful.
Absolutely. And it's awesome, too. It gets to the point now, we're just to touch on the fact that we're, traveling more and traveling out. It's just really nice to get to a spot as a group where you can go somewhere that you might not feel completely comfortable, but as soon as you start playing, all of a sudden you're in a really comfortable space where you're all just communicating with each other, and it's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So.
And so tell me about writing the songs for the new album and how those came together, and if you as a group had in mind, these new sounds that you were bringing in, and if that kind of influenced the songwriting at all.
I mean, it definitely did. I don't know how much of it was conscious at the time. I think I just, sometimes you get something going in your head and it just keeps going. You're like, okay, well, I guess the only way to make this stop is to teach it to other people and have them do it too. And we always have a very collaborative process. Usually might come in with the seed of something, with the chords and changes or words or something, and then we kind of volley back and forth depending on the song, whether there's other, ideas there, and usually stuff arises. Mm-hmm. I don't know, do you guys have any, maybe you have like input on that?
Not really, you covered it all, I think.
Well, and I'm just thinking about, before you were writing with, a male voice in your head, and then now I just am curious if there's a something, if you just hear it differently when you know that you have Kelly.
It's a, there's a learning curve to that. He definitely writes songs sometimes still with his range in mind, and I'll have to kind of go in and
that makes sense. The whole
figure out how to
thing,
make it work for my range. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had to change the key of a song or two.
and I suppose some of the older material as well.
Yeah, and a lot of the older material, I'll come up with a new harmony to add in to try not to totally skew their original idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And related to that, writing-wise, it's been really cool because, I guess not supposed to be self-deprecating, but I'm not much of a singer, and so it's been really nice. Sometimes I have these tunes in my head, and I can't sing it properly, but Kelly can totally sing it. So sometimes I get to stretch out and do things that I hear and wanted to do, but wasn't really capable of doing, and Kelly just, blows it out of the water, so it's pretty cool.
Nice. Well, that must be a lot of fun. Well, let's hear another tune, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more. What do you guys want to do next?
Next one, I think we'll do Prolegomenon, which is also from the new album, Masquerade. Thank you.
the road at 17, headed down to Memphis, Tennessee. Got to knocking boots for the first time that I seen. What did I do right? Where did I go wrong? Laced up my shoes and went out to sea. Joined the Navy band and saved up some green. Lost a shooting pool in an eight-ball scene. What did I do right? Where did I go wrong?
The Gentlemen's Anti-Temperance League, live from Studio A, another one that you can find on their new album, Masquerade. And I had to look up that the how to spell that one. Prologium, and now you have to tell me how to pronounce it again.
So
again. And tell me where that name comes from. And
I'm going to take credit for that one.
Okay. Tell us more.
Just because, I mean, I didn't know what that word meant until I looked it up on
So it's
the
a real word.
It is a
it's
real word.
It's not a made-up word.
And yes, it's essentially just prologue, I guess, which is what we call it. But yeah, it's the, I guess, the intro song to another song on that album called Sam Dawes. And it's just, I mean, I guess I can't really say much to the effect of the content of the song, but.
Well, it's kind of, it seems like a character song, like it's from the perspective of a character. Yeah. So tell us about that.
I guess it kind of ties into the whole, I mean, it's been done a million times, I guess, by musicians, but it ties into the whole character of the things that you give up and the things that you deal with if you choose to travel around and play music. You know, it's really difficult to have friends and family and a, you know, stable community in one place if you're traveling around a lot and you don't have much money and, you know, free beer and free booze and free a whole bunch of other stuff. And, so it's just kind of that character, and it's the same, both parts of the song deal with that characterization, like the why people are drawn to do that, why we want to just travel around and play music, and just why? I don't know.
and they actually bookend the album. That one starts at the beginning, is the beginning, and then Sam Dawes is the last one.
Okay.
So were you thinking thematically when you did the songs on the album, or does it just kind of happen that way? And
I think it.
We were kind of on our writing retreat to work on Sam Dawes.
You need to get towards the microphone, please.
We were kind of on a writing retreat to work on Sam Dawes, and then I think like Prologue just kind of came out of that too.
Okay.
We were like, oh, in context, I guess this one really leads into that one really well. So we just kind of wrote another song to go before it.
Oh.
And when
okay.
we perform it live, we do them right next to each other.
Oh, okay, okay.
And we go right into Sam Dawes through.
Okay.
Usually.
Yeah.
There's one on here called Meddling Kids, which of course always makes me think of Scooby-Doo.
Yep.
Tell me about that one. I'm just curious where that came from.
I think we had so many dark songs.
Which it turned into.
It turned into a very dark song. But we had so many dark songs, I was like, oh, well, you know what's not dark? Scooby-Doo. And and what if we just had a chorus about those meddling kids, and it could be kind of a comical, like, Scooby-Doo adventure.
Goofy villain song.
And then it...
It turned a little
turned
dark,
into, like, a
though.
Weird torture porn bad, like, bondage thing. I don't know. It got weird, but, you know.
Too much time on the road there, Dan?
Yeah.
And then there's Pete's Bossa, so maybe a little bossa nova in mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, yeah.
That Latin influence mm-hmm. that you were yep. talking about. Because you kind of, you know, you've got a few influences. Of course, you have the gypsy jazz that you kind of started with, but it sounds like other things are creeping in as yeah. you move along.
Yeah. It's both songwriting within the content of the songs and also the structure and the genres that creep in, I think is all just sort of a natural process of what we're hearing and listening to, like... You know, when I was young, I didn't listen to jazz at all. It was like it didn't even exist for me. I was really into echoey, reverby, post-rock and some electronic music and stuff. And I just have been listening to more and more jazz and listening to a whole bunch of, you know, Charles Mingus and listening to a whole bunch of, what's the wave guy? Bill Beam?
Wave guy?
Yeah. Anyway, you know, listening to a whole bunch of different stuff that I wasn't listening to before, and it's really exciting because it hadn't existed before. Mm-hmm. I was so closed off to it, and it all just leaks in. So,
and you bring some of that into the band.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. And where did you record this one?
River Rock,
which is
Northeast Minneapolis.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And how was that experience?
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. actually really cool.
Was it one of those? Okay, we're gonna just do this in a couple days and
yep.
bang
yeah.
it out. And,
we
okay.
banged it out really fast.
Okay.
In 2 days, I think.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Just 2 days.
We planned on not doing that. We actually recorded a bunch of songs leading up to it, and then there were some like recording issues with some of the songs, so we just ended up doing everything all at once anyway, even though we had intended not to. So.
And it turned out all right.
Yeah.
Well, we have time for one more. What do you guys sure. want to wrap up with here?
A new one.
Yeah, it's not even on the new album. It's too new. Still not the newest, but... Okay, it's Winter is Right Outside Our Window.
It's almost time to wake up, my dear.
That is the Gentlemen's Anti-Temperance League, live from Studio A, and a brand new tune. Always fun to hear stuff that hasn't even been released yet. Well, thanks so much, everybody. And what's next for you guys? You got many shows lined up, or you have a new song out? Are there more new songs to come? I mean, often that happens where, you know, the band is, they've been living with these songs. They put out the album and then they start thinking about the next
exactly
one.
Oh, yeah.
we have a fair number of new ones. It was like, especially near the end of recording this album, kind of chomping at the bit because, you know, recording is always kind of it's like a documenting process. It's like an artificial thing. Like, what we do is we get together and play music. Like, recording isn't, at least for me, I don't know, recording isn't something that I've always been really into. You know, the ins and outs of sound engineering and stuff. I'm more into the song itself. So I was getting kind of wild when you're getting near the end.
Long story short, there's lots of new songs.
Yes.
Getting ready for our next album already.
All right. Well, good for you. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Maya Jensen and Cheyenne Vavrina, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thanks for listening.